Our podcast will begin in just a moment. InvestTalk Distribution is made possible by KPP Financial. Steve Peasley, President. Dynamic Growth, Balanced Income, Select Growth and Income Programs, the 401k Solution, Disciplined Equity. These are the KPP Financial programs designed to meet your goals and life situation. To see more about them, go to investtalk.com, click on the Investments tab. End of commercial. And now, today's Invest Talk podcast.
Good afternoon, everybody. Good. This is Invest Talk. Thank you for being with us today. Let's see. Oh, gosh, I got caught with my shorts. It's March 22nd. March 22nd. And, of course, this is Invest Talk. Our mission is to help you every day as we do to try to get you to become a better-than-average investor. That's our job. I'm here to help you protect your money and make it grow. You want to see the important factors very clearly about your money. What is standing between you and meeting your goals? Do you have goals? Do you have clearly defined goals? Most people don't. But don't we all want to have enough money to live comfortably in retirement? So then maybe we should talk about setting goals. We could talk about that. You know, one of my talking points is about, you know, about saving money and how much you should save. So we're going to discuss that. Do you have clearly defined goals? That's the number one question. Start there. If you don't, make them. Our listening line is always open, 888-99-CHART. You can call and ask any question financial that you want. You can do it right now. You can also send me an email going to contact Steve, clicking on contact Steve, or contact Justin at investtalk.com. That's investtalk.com. So how do you stay focused on your goals? Trent Hamm writes for U.S. News, has several ideas on how to do it. He suggests stating your goals every day, reminding yourself of what your goal is every day. He said you could do it with a text message to yourself sent automatically. You can do it with a chart. He says he does it by looking at his kids every morning to remind him of what his goals are, college, retirement, whatever they may be. So his focus is you've got to keep your goal in the front of your mind, not in the back of your mind, in the front of your mind, so that when you go buy that new widget, that new car, that new boat, was that part of your goal, and is it going to hinder your goal achievement? Do you want that? Is it necessary? Is it something that you should do? So when it comes to retirement portfolios, you really should look at it pretty regularly. You know, you don't have to look at it every day. That's not regularly. I'm talking about once a month, once a quarter, at the minimum, those things. But you got to kind of see where you're going. You know, and see if the decisions made last year in your 401k, are they working out this year? How are they working compared to the market overall? You know, it's difficult. I know it's a learning process. I know that too. But you really need to learn this, to pick it up. And pick it up the earlier you pick it up in your life, the better. You know, maybe you have questions about IRAs or 401ks or 403bs or 457s or pensions of some kind. Any questions along those lines are really good. And if I can't answer them, you need to go to your department, your human resources department, and ask them these questions, you know, about retirement counts. What kind does your employer provide? Does he even provide any? Maybe you have a question about college savings plans. Which one is the best? There's 529 plans. You know what those are? Are you a trader or are you an investor in the market? All these kinds of questions, there's millions of them, and I can understand that it's overwhelming to a lot of people, because it is. But you still need to have a working understanding. So let's talk about it. 888-99-CHART is our anytime number. I know you have questions, so let's take this question right now.
Hi, Steve. This is Dave from Pennsylvania, a podcast listener. You had mentioned a couple times last week about drawing trend lines and looking for certain specifics of that. I was wondering if you could talk about how you draw a trend line. my online broker allows me to draw trend lines, but I'm not sure what I'm looking for. So if you could just give a short discussion on how you draw it, from what points, and the information that you're able to get from that, I'd appreciate it. Thanks again. Really enjoy the show.
Well, most, okay, very good question. Most trend lines start with a one-year daily chart of the stock price of the company you're looking at. So it's a one-year chart of daily prices over the 1 year. You start there. And if you're looking for to see a company, just by looking at it, you'll see if the trend is up, down, or sideways, right? In drawing a trend line, you are to draw connecting 3 points. If the stock is moving down, of course, stock doesn't move down every day, day after day. It goes up and it goes down, it goes up and down. For over 1 year, try to connect 3 points. If you can, then you have a downward sloping straight line. And if the stock is above that trend line, then you have a stock that's changed direction and trend. If the stock price over that 1 year period is moving up, then you draw a 3 point trend line at the lows of those days that it hit lows 3 times during the year. A downward trend line would be at the highs. An upward trend line would be at the lows. In other words, the stock moves up, comes down, moves up again, comes down again, moves up even higher, comes down again. And that's 3 points. You draw a straight line connecting those points. That's the trend line, the upward trend line. So if the stock breaks down below that trend line, the theory is that the trend has been broken to the downside and the stock is going to be coming down. That's how you do trend lines. It's much easier to demonstrate it than it is to explain it, because it's easy to see on a chart. But the key is connect 3 points. And the key is to start with a one-year trend, because you want to look for a longer trend. Then you could do a weekly chart, weekly price close of a chart. That would take you back several years, and then you could do a trend line, long-term trend line. So that's how you make trend lines, okay? Switching financial advisors made easier. Changing advisors is easy, but know these tricks that you kind of have to want to look for. You got to be careful. When new accounts come aboard to me, I try to divulge everything there is to divulge about the mishaps and what could happen. But a lot of advisors have little sneaky things in their contracts that we want to talk about. We're going to discuss that. And that's going to be one of our major talking points today. How to jumpstart the world economy. There was a book out called The End of Alchemy by Mervyn King, former governor of the Bank of England. And he has some suggestions of how to jumpstart, and I find it interesting. I don't see how these are going to work, but we want to talk about it. Wait until you're older to save big won't save your retirement. There was a 2016 retirement conference survey by Employee Benefit Research Institute, and I'm going to share with some of their findings with you, what they're talking about. And I didn't get to a couple points last week. Will the oil rally last? I don't think so, but I want to talk about that. If inflation accelerates, where should you invest? What will be the best place to be if inflation accelerates, goes higher? And do you know what inflation is doing? So those are a couple things that last week I really didn't get to that I would like to get to today if we can. But of course, you're first. Whatever's on your mind is always first. So questions are come up that you want to call and ask, be happy to talk about it. The Dow broke a 7-day winning streak, down 41 points today, but the Nasdaq was up 13, and the S&P was down 2. Surprisingly, I thought it'd be more volatile and bigger swings because of what happened in the terrorist attacks in Europe, but it didn't. It just makes me think, does it mean that investors and traders are getting used to these things? It's kind of a sad commentary on our society, if that's the case. But anyways, that was what the market did. It's still in an upward trend, a short-term upward trend. And the question before when he asked me about trend lines, if you draw a trend line of the S&P over the last year, you'll see that trying to connect three lines, three tops, to see if we're in a downtrend is going to be difficult, but you can do it from, you know, you can do it. It's just difficult. If you go back, you know, I like to go back a year, as I said, but you can use a shorter term. You can use 6 months if you want, but I do like to use a year. If you use a year, you can draw a trend line, and you can't quite get three tops. And it's still, if you cheat a little bit, you still haven't broken the upward trend line. In other words, the trend is still down, but it's a very, very, very minor slope downward. You know, it's really easy to draw three trend lines if you start in November. There's three peaks. November's came pretty high, almost as high as the last May, not quite. Then in December, it retested that. And then again, it did that in like right at the end of December, early January. So you can, there's three that you can draw, three peaks you can draw a downward trend line. And if you can do that, the market broke above that just a little. If you go back to May and try to draw a trend line from the May peak to the November peak, well, you wouldn't hit the December peak. There's no three highs that you can draw a trend line through. So it's kind of in between. It's really hard to make that call. But what do you think the market's going to do now? We're now in late March. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley. This is Invest Talk, made possible by our firm, KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm. It's coming up April 13th. One of our more popular Saturday morning wealth conferences will be transformed into a webinar. It's called Surviving and Opportunities in a Volatile Market. It certainly has been volatile this year. It's free. All you have to do is sign up. You do that by going to investtalk.com.
Hello, Justin. This is Rich in Fort Worth. I want your opinion on Micron Technology, ticker symbol MU. I bought a portion position over a year ago, and as of right now, it's down about 40%. So I was wondering what you would recommend to do with that stock. I suppose I could buy an additional position and reduce my cost basis, or do you think I should just go ahead and sell and get rid of it? Thanks. Love your show. Bye.
MU, Micron Technology, is a very large cap company, $11.8 billion in size, so that would be a large cap. It's not a mega cap, but it's large, very large. Manufactures RAM and flash memory, image sensors, computers for computer services, servers, and consumer electronics. It's coming back. It made $2.65 in 2015, but it's only going to make 39 cents this year. But next year it's going to make $1.42. Sales have been falling recent quarters, and the stock reflects it, as you pointed out. It's dropped 40-something percent. But ever since mid-January, this stock has been turning sideways to now starting up the last month or so. Still doesn't show a lot of strength, not nearly the strength the market has shown. But you're looking at a stock that's going to earn $1.42 and is selling for $11.44. So that's like a 8-9 PE. Return on equity is very high, 27. Cash flow is very good at $5.55. Not too much debt, but they have some. Insiders have been recent buyers. I frankly would probably buy more of this. And I'd use like $10 as my out. Remember, it's $11.44. Drops below that $10 range, which is where it bottomed here at the beginning of the year, I would then get out. Other than that, I think as a big blue chip stock, it's going to survive, and this is a buying opportunity. But keep a tight stop. Keep that $10 price target. If it drops below that, get out. I'd be a buyer, I'd add. Do you need a real estate review? For just about everyone, your home is an important piece of your retirement planning puzzle. Why not get a second opinion? Our Justin Klein here, my own Justin Klein, his team of realtor professionals across the country will help you do that. They'll take a look at the property and give you an idea. Just go to contact Justin at investtalk.com. Let's talk to Glenn in San Mateo. How you doing, Glenn?
Hey, how you doing, Steve?
Good, good. Thank you for the call.
Great show. Always got good information.
Thank you.
I wanted to ask you a question on a company I asked you probably once before, or somebody asked you, regarding LCI, Lannett Pharmaceutical. They purchased a company a few months ago, and they lost a big customer out of that big company that they bought, which was 80% of their revenue or something like that, and they've been trying to work some things out. They had no debt before the purchase. Now they've got like $1 billion worth of debt. I'm just wondering what you think about that company. I have it currently, and I've been drifting down and buying on the down, and I'm wondering where I should go with it at this point. Coming down from about $40 to $30 and down.
Well, it looks like it's a pretty cheap stock at this point. But I did notice a news out saying that they're going to reduce guidance of earnings, and that's always a big negative. One of the reasons why the stock is under pressure. It's still growing its sales. It's not shrinking sales, but the growth rate is falling. I mean, it was 100% a year ago or so, and now it's only 12-13% growth rate. And so, stock was selling, what, 50, 60 bucks, and now today it's a 20? Remember? If everybody can remember this, if the growth story changes, even though this still is a very good company and it's still growing, but the story changed from high growth to just medium-sized growth, investors are going to bail, and they did. Now...
Let me ask you this, because the company they bought, which was Kramer's or something like that, the reason why they bought them was for more revenue streams or more product streams, and that's what it was supposed to do. Now, I'm not sure where that's at this point.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know all the details about that because I can't do that quickly while all the screens are in front of me. I don't have that ability to do that kind of research that quickly. But I can tell you that stock is fairly inexpensive. I can tell you that the chances are good that it's very close to a bottom. It bounced up in the last 2 days nicely for you. And I can tell you that it looks like a good value stock. It's a small company, only does $750 million. Lannett Company, everybody, LCI, develops generic versions of drugs. And it's done that very well. It didn't have a lot of debt until it bought that company. And that deal is not quite working out. That's the problem.
Right.
And now it's
Let me ask you this, Steve. Since I have had it coming from the upper ends of it, and taking it through all the way down to now, and you're saying it's bottoming, does that sound like I should probably, at this point, does it make sense to just hang on there?
I would probably hang on to it. I probably would. You've already gotten beat up pretty bad. If it drops, maybe if it drops below the recent low made it like 3 days ago, if it drops below that number, maybe you can finally give up. But I think it's very close to the bottom. Glenn, I appreciate the call. Thank you very much. Let's go to Art in Menlo Park. How you doing, Art?
Good, Steve. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
Before I ask my question, can you remember what stock you were talking about 10 minutes ago before you went on your break? Because I was listening and I missed it.
Was that it's MU, Micron Technologies.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that sounds about right. Actually, I wanted to ask you about Flextronics, FLEX.
Uh-huh.
A run-up in the last few months.
Yeah.
And I'm just wondering, I'm actually waiting for a pullback, but I want to see what your thoughts on it.
I'm pretty sure you will get a pullback because the run-up has been pretty sharp for Flextronics.
Yeah.
FLEX is the symbol, everybody. They're from Singapore. They are a contract manufacturer of flexible circuits and printed circuit boards for computers. It's a $6.5 billion company. Sales have been slowly going down for the last year. And, of course, that's always negative. And earnings are still going up. So they're squeezing more profits at lower sales. Chances are high, Art, that it's going to give about half of this gain it's made this year. And so I'm thinking you want to buy it, around 10 to 10.50, somewhere around there. I think that you're going to get it there.
I
would wait.
I was looking at maybe about close to 11, but 10 to 1050 sounds better.
Yeah, 11 is possible. I mean, you have to see how the stock acts around those prices, because that's where it's going to start to – that's when you see how – if it's going sideways or not, you know. And that when it starts going sideways on a pullback, that's when you start thinking about buying it, okay?
Oh, okay.
Appreciate the call, Art.
Okay, thank
you very much. Appreciate that. You're listening to Invest Talk, everybody. We're here every day, Monday through Friday, 4 to 5 live. 4 to 5 live Pacific time. Coming up next half hour, judging the value of stocks, when to buy them, and more importantly, when to sell them. That's the difficult part, selling, not buying. Just think of the callers we just had. But, you know, a couple of them, MU and Flextronics, you know, when do you, not Flextronics, but LCI, when do you sell it? What's your topic? What do you want to talk about? 888-99-CHARGE, our entire number, and you can call right now.
Continue now with Invest Talk, and remember, you are part of the program. If you have a question about investing, squaring up your 401k, sizing up a mutual fund, we're open to your views too. 888-99-CHART. Join us on the program live 4 to 5. And now, once again, here's Steve Peasley.
Okay, we're going to talk about changing advisors, navigating the red tape when switching financial advisors. Changing advisors is easy, by the way. Don't think it's difficult. It's not. It's just paperwork. And usually, you know, the advisor will do most of the shuffling of the paperwork, but you do have to do it. But there's a couple little things you should talk to them before you make a decision and talk about. So one is beware of the advisors who promise, overpromise. If they ever tell you that they're going to give you 10% return a year, and they say, we're going to minimum 10% a year, I would not go with that advisor. That's too high. If they tell you you can take out 7% of your retirement money in retirement, 7% of your account a year in retirement money, I wouldn't go with them either. That's too high. See, a lot of times you got to be careful when they make these promises. I know 10% a return doesn't sound like a lot, but if they're promising you year after year after year 10%, that is a lot. Most of them can't do it. The market doesn't do it that, you know, 10% a year. It's more of, you know, they should say stuff like, well, we have been performing this much. And they should give you a range, you know, because you just can't keep that up. And the reason why you can't take 7% out is because you'll probably run out of money. And a good advisor will say, you can take 7% out, but this is your odds. Or maybe they have software. I have software that tells us if you'll run out of money and what are the probabilities of you running out of money, you know, depending on how much you take out. You know, and also be very careful with whatever advisor you go with. You want to make sure that whatever they invest you in is liquid. You don't want to be a non-liquid asset. That's how they hold you in. That's how they keep you bound to them. Because here, we're going to buy private REITs or master limited partnerships. Those are not liquid, and they can say they're worth anything they want to say, and you don't know. You want publicly traded equities and, you know, that kind of stuff. And make sure you ask about costs. Is there a cost to transfer? Is there time limit you have to stay with a new advisor, stuff like that. Make sure all that information matches up with the paperwork he's giving you too. And I know that's difficult, but it's doable. So just, you know, ask about termination fees. If you wanted to leave them, did you have to pay a fee? It should be no, never. You know, and transfers can take a little while depending on what's being transferred to the new custodian. Make sure your custodian is SIPC insured. Very, very important. Let's go to David in San Jose. How you doing, David?
Hey, thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
I had a question about Gilead Sciences. I know their stocks have been picking up the last few days, and then today after hours, there's a ruling that went against them in regards to the Hep C patent versus Merck.
Yeah, I saw that.
The stock's been dropping about 3% in after hours, and I was wondering if you happen to know how big or what the ramifications of this ruling is and where might be a bottom or somewhere good to pick up Gilead at.
Well, you know, if you want to buy Gilead, this might give you the opportunity to pick it up at a discount. I don't know all the effects of this ruling. In other words, I don't know how much it's going to affect them, and that's something that you really want to take a closer look at. But my experience has been whenever there's some kind of one event bad news like this, if the company is big enough, and Gilead is a $128 billion company, this is just a short-term blip and maybe a buying opportunity. So you want to see what it does to the stock tomorrow and maybe the next day or two. And I think if you get a 3 to 5% pullback, if you wanted to buy it, I think that's your opportunity to buy it. Gilead Sciences, everybody. It develops therapeutic treatments, viral, fungal, respiratory, cardiovascular diseases. It's growing very nicely. The growth has slowed down, but it's a very inexpensive stock at this point. So I think it might be a buying opportunity, David, that bad news that came out. See, this is bad news. It's only going to hit them one time. It's not like, oh, gosh, now it's going to be more bad news because of this. No, it's going to hit them one time. And a one-time event, you know, as long as it doesn't destroy the company, buying opportunity if fundamentally the company is strong, and Gilead is strong. So I think it might be an opportunity, David. Appreciate the call.
Great.
Thank you.
Thank you much.
Thank you. Larry, San Francisco, new investor. How you doing, Larry?
Hey, good. Thanks for taking the call. I honestly just bought my first two positions in Johnson & Johnson, Procter & Gamble.
Okay.
I got about $20,000 in the brokerage account. Mm-hmm. But I'm just kind of scaling in every quarter. Just bought like 50 shares each.
Okay.
I really want to know how many positions is appropriate for me and when should I be, do I allocate, you know, money that's like a 401k on a dollar cost average, or mm-hmm. do I wait till I get up to, you know, $4,000 or $6,000 and just kind of buy shares like that, you know, because I don't want to pay, you know, the trader fees.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can't buy two shares because that trading fees will eat you up. You know, you got to buy a reasonable amount. And if you have $20,000, you probably, okay, you should have 15 to 20 stocks at the very minimum, just so you know. Now, $20,000, you're not going to be able to have that many. You're building your portfolio. With Johnson & Johnson, Procter & Gamble, those are very large, blue chip, very safe companies that you could hold on forever, okay? So if you stay in those kind of companies, your risk is reduced because they're very strong companies. But you might want to diversify, Larry, with like an ETF. You know what an ETF, exchange traded fund, is?
Yeah, I'm doing ETFs. I got a Roth also. I'm doing like a VTI over there, and then I got a 401k. I'm just taking a match with that. This is kind of just discretionary.
Okay.
I just want to kind of hold, you know, yeah, like you said, you know, 10 to 15 stocks. But I got $20,000, and then I can't afford, you know, I can do maybe $5,000-$10,000 a year,
right,
you know, in the whole portfolio.
Right.
But
so you want to continue to diversify. Don't buy too much of any one stock. You know, my rule is 3 to 5% of any one stock, but you know, at $20,000, that's not enough. You know, you need that, you know, it's so you really want to try to build that up a little bit more, and take, you know, compare your overall portfolio of all your old holdings. And try not to be too heavy in one stock. Also, don't buy just one or two sectors. For instance, your next sector you might want to go into might be like a big oil company. Because
I want a utility. You want to go with a big bank, telecom.
Exactly.
Yeah, technology.
Exactly.
Okay.
Get it. You're doing the right thing. Spread it around. Don't buy too much of any one thing. Help yourself with some diversification by using ETFs, and just keep at it. Just keep at it, Larry. You'll do well. You'll just continue to do well. Those are two big companies. Those are those two are good starts for a core portfolio. Okay?
Thank you.
Thanks, Larry. Appreciate the call. Let's go to Lars in San Jose. How you doing, Lars?
Hi, Steve, and thanks for your program. It's always great.
Thank you.
I have two questions for you today. The first one is about Omnicell. I'm just looking at it. You know, the only bad thing I can see about that company is that the revenue is decreasing a little bit. Mm-hmm. However, their earning per share is steadily increasing, and they've been in business, I think it's 20 years or something like that. So they're a very stable company, and all their numbers look good to me, except that revenue was decreasing. But again, if that is offset by the earning per share, it still looks good to me, and I just wanted your opinion on that. And then I have a different question afterwards, if you don't mind.
Sure. Omnicell, everybody, OMCL is a symbol, develops systems that enable healthcare facilities to manage and administer medication and surgical supplies. It's a $960 million company, so it's a small cap company that has very steady income and has been steadily increasing their income year after year after year. So it's been pretty consistent. Sales, as you pointed out, have moved from like 15 to 20% down to 7 to 12% in the last year or two. Okay, so sales have been slowing. The issue I see here only is that it's a little steep on the P.E. ratio. And it's a little weak on the return on equity numbers. The P.E. ratio, okay, it's $1.77. It's going to make $1.77. It's a $26 stock when earnings are growing 10 to 15%. So I don't think that the stock should get more than like a 20 P.E., and that's like a $35 stock. So there's your upside, okay, I think. I think it's pretty fairly priced based on this year's earnings and a little undervalued based on next year's earnings. So I have no problem with buying this stock. If you look at a chart, if it drops below 20, let's call it about 26. That's its bottom, and it's been hovering around there for several months now. What I don't like about it, Lars, is it didn't really make an up move during this up move in the market. It didn't follow suit. So you got to be real careful of this one. Okay?
Yeah, but it seems like it has a very solid bottom down there at the 26.
Yeah, sure, also, looks
two
like
years
it.
Back, you see that it came down to that area and then kind of went up from there.
You are correct. This is where you want to buy it if you want to take a chance. You want to buy it in this area.
Yeah, and it's a $1 billion company, you know, it's not like a micro cap or anything.
Yeah, no.
Hey, the second question, really quickly, is for ADRs. Normally, ADRs is always named with a five-letter convention.
Uh-huh. And usually the last letter, the last letter is usually F for foreign. But
okay,
not always.
Exactly what I wanted to ask you about. That's what I wanted to ask you about. I've seen two. I've seen a Y and an F at the end.
Yes, not always F, but that's common for foreign. Yeah. I'm trying to remember what the Y it was for. Everybody, we're talking about the symbol of the company. You know, like Omnicell is OMCL because it's a California company. It's a U.S. company. But if it was a foreign company called an ADR, American Depository Receipt, trading on our exchange, if this was a foreign company, it would be OMCLF. But we've also seen OMCLY, and I know there's a difference. I'm drawing a blank, Lars, on what the difference is. I'd have to look it up for you. But I know the F means foreign. Okay?
Okay, because I tried to Google it, but I found the F, but I wasn't sure about the Y and what exactly the difference was seen from an exchange commission point of view.
Yeah, I'll find out. And if I find out before the end of the show, I'll announce it. Okay?
Excellent.
Thanks. Thanks, Lars. Appreciate the call. That's some fresh new dates for portfolio reviews coming up for the month of April. First in San Jose on April 6th. San Jose, April 6th. And then I'll be doing reviews by Skype and telephone on April 19th here in my office. And then back to San Ramon on April 20th. That's coming up. I'll be up there twice now this month. Now, these are informal meetings. There's no sales pitch. I don't try to do that. Just information. Maybe a second opinion on your portfolio. Of course, I want you to become a client of mine. I want to be your investment advisor. But, you know, that's not the focus. The focus is to see I can help you and to see if there's anything that you're doing that might be detrimental to your financial health. Now, if you'd like to schedule a portfolio review, just go to investtalk.com. That's investtalk.com and click on the Invest Talk tab. Let's go to William in San Jose. How you doing, William?
I'm doing great, Steve. I'm calling in regards to the stock symbol ULTA, U-L-T-A. Mm-hmm. I got into the stock at $167.71, and recently ULTA had some great earnings report, and it shot up to $191. Mm-hmm. Looking at a one-year chart, it's looking that starting to move sideways this week or so.
Right.
However, look at a longer chart, a three-year chart, they're showing consistent growth over time. I just want to get your thoughts on the difference between, I mean, what you would do in this position looking at these charts.
Okay. It's a $12 billion company, everybody, called Ultra Salon Cosmetic and Fragrances. Operates 774 beauty stores in 47 states offering hair care, cosmetics, you know, those things. It has been very consistent. Very consistent. When I say that, I mean earnings have been going up very steady all the way back to 2010. It's going, stretching out more. It's going to be up 21% next year, and they project another 20% the year after. I mean, very consistent. Sales growth is very consistent at 20% every quarter, almost 21, 22%. The worst quarter in the last eight quarters is 19% growth in sales. Because of that consistency, this stock has a pretty high P/E ratio. Investors love this kind of numbers. It's consistent. They're doing very, very well. Very good return on equity at 24%. Really good numbers, okay? Mutual funds are buyers. Everybody's happy. When everybody's happy, William, I start to get a little bit nervous, okay? Just a little bit nervous. But it's done very, very well. I think the consolidation you're seeing now is a bullish consolidation, not a bearish consolidation, meaning it probably is going to hold this price or go higher. That's what I think it is. So, now we are coming into a difficult time of the year, you know, in the next couple of months. So don't be surprised if you see some weakness, but not because of the company, because of the overall market. I like it. I think you just hold it. Even though it's expensive, it deserves to be expensive, and it looks like it's consistent enough to continue to be expensive and deserve it. Okay?
All right, great.
Thanks, William. Appreciate the call. ULTA, everybody. Our Invest Talk Anytime number is 888-99-CHART. I'm here to answer any of your questions you might have. Any money question. Money. Almost about money. 888-99-CHART. Chart. They're going to talk to Daniel in San Mateo. How you doing, Daniel?
Hi, Steve. You're great. Thank you. Just had two quick questions if you got time. One is Whole Foods Market. Would you be getting in now? It's taking a beating. And the other is PayPal.
Well, let me talk about Whole Foods. I won't be able to give you one. I got another call waiting. But Whole Foods, we bought Whole Foods about a month and a half ago in our managed account. We like it. Got really solid numbers. Hardly any debt. Growing decently in between 3% and 10%, and we feel that because it has very high, very, very low debt, I mean really low, and pretty good return on equity, and the stock was beaten up so much last year that it's the kind of stock that will work in the environment they're in. And it's starting to work pretty decently, but it is a little bit speculative because it is a little bit expensive, but I think it deserves it by its consistency of earnings and growth. Daniel, thank you for the call. Real quick, everybody, talking point before we get to the next caller. There was a survey that came out by the 2016 Retirement Conference Survey by the Employee Benefit Research Institute. I just really want to – it talked about 401ks and IRAs, and the people that have those feel more confident about the retirement. But the one stat that brought this up to my attention is – actually two – Everybody in this survey, most everybody felt they needed to save 20% or more to have enough money in retirement. The actual savings rate is 5.2% overall, and 7% in 401k, so way behind. Another stat, Many think that they'll just continue working, past retirement age, just keep working. The problem is, in 2016, 46% of current retirees retired unexpectedly. Either they were laid off or they got sick. Something happened to force them, almost 50%. So don't count on working later in retirement. Let's go to Rabi in Santa Clara. How you doing, Rabi?
Hi, Steve. I'm doing good. Thanks for taking my call. This is regarding the stock Nestle.
Okay.
I would like to know whether it's the buy right now, or what is your opinion, the price at current level?
Okay, this is Nestle's company. They're out of Switzerland. The symbol is NSRGY. Remember earlier in the show we were talking about when it ended in a Y? Yeah, so this tells you it's a foreign company with an ADR in the United States, traded on our stock exchange. I like food companies right now, Ruby. We have several of them ourselves. We don't own Nestle. I like them, and they make, everybody knows who they make, beverages, milk products, ice cream, candies, other foods worldwide. It's a $233 billion company. It's huge, huge, huge. The problem with Nestle is they're a little expensive because their earnings are going to top out this year and then start to go down. And sales have been falling 5 to 6%. Remember, it's huge. So that's not to be unexpected. I think you'd be very, very careful. I think this particular one, and one of the reasons why they didn't buy it, is because it is still in a downtrend. I think you want to be very, very careful. They only pay 2.6%. And if they paid 4% or 5% dividend, I'd be a lot more attractive to it. But it doesn't pay that much of a dividend, and it's a little expensive at a 25 PE. And I think you need to be very, very careful here. It is a good, solid company, Ruby. It really is. But I think you want to buy it. It bounced off of $70. If it goes down there and retests that, bounces again, then I might be more prone to be a buyer of Nestle. That's what I would do. Rabi, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Thank you very much. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Now, real quick, will the oil rally last? Have you seen how it's bounced up from its low? And I'm gonna say no. I don't think, mind you, I own a number of, in our managed accounts, of oil positions, our stock accounts. I like the big oil companies. You've heard me say that for a couple, three, 4 months now. But will the oil price keep going up? It's hard to see that happening because of, the storage in Cushing, Oklahoma, is 90% full. The storage in the Gulf Coast area is 90% full. We have way more oil than we've ever had. It's hard to see oil prices continuing to go up. Hard to see that. Our time is up. A reminder, our live webinar is coming up on April 13th, 6:30 to 7:30 Pacific Time. Survival and Opportunities in a Volatile Market. It's free, but you do need to sign up on InvestTalk.com. Just click on the InvestTalk tab. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley, president of KPP Financial, which is a registered investment advisor firm. And for Justin Klein and everybody at KPP Financial, thank you for listening today. And let's get together again tomorrow.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.